Love Talk Radio.
All right.
We had serious. This evening is when the public resists truth, state terror follows. Political prisoners, Assange, Mamiya, Jan, Leonard, Mr. Victor, all of these people are political prisoner lynch victims. But without further ado, we want to go to our brother Ralph, and we want to acknowledge Sister Ann in the house, our poet in the house, and of course, always, Tom Syracuse.
Thank you, my brothers and sisters. What I believe. The overriding element in every situation or circumstance in a black life is racism. Birth, elementary school, housing, health, food, etc. Black lives have never except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our laborers for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, moved lynching indoors. The police, as the army of occupation, have taken lynching outside again. And the lynch mob is the racist system, including the courts and the media. And because the lives of our heroes and sheroes who once protected us in our community do not matter to us, the people, our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle can recreate our image. Own minds as well as the minds of others. Wake up, now is the time. Now let me repeat. When the public resists truth, state terror follows, i.e. political prisoners. And let us be clear, as we stated last week, and throughout the years, Assange is not only a political prisoner, he is our hero. I don't know how anyone could mistake our attitude. I go over the programs and I listen to every program, and we stand tall. All of our speakers and participants, we stand tall in supporting Julian Assange, Snowden, etc., all of those who told the truth, and we remind all of our listeners and participants that Mr. Obama was the anti-truth teller of recent. He put more people, more whistleblowers under the gun than any other administration. And so let us remember that whose side we are on. I again mention Assange, Chelsea Manning, Snowden, Lynn, etc. All of those who dare tell the truth. And it fits our program. When the public resists truth, state terror follows. And when the public resists the reality of political prisoners, when the public resists the truth of the American hypocrisy in attacking us, the truth of American hypocrisy for anyone who would dare speak truth to power, then we see state terror follows. An example, the truth was Sheikh Omar Abdelrahman was the opponent of Hosni Mubarak, who was the dictator in Egypt. And then when the people in Egypt stood up and got rid of Hosni Mubarak, the United States put in a general, El-Sisi, who has brought on terror to a great extent in Egypt. As a matter of fact, they had an election, and the duly elected president of Egypt is presently in jail. State terror follows when the public resists the truth. The truth is, the Sheikh cared not about the United States. He cared about Egypt and getting rid of their dictator. But the American public never accepted that reality. State terror has followed in spades in Egypt. And we see state terror in this hemisphere. Haiti, among others, 70% of the people who ran, who voted for Aristide. They ran Aristide out of there at Marine Bayonet Point. State terror. Honduras, they get an elected president, and there is a coup supported by America. State terror. Chile, Allende gets elected. Pinochet goes on a death rampage. State terror. And I could go on and on for the rest of the program. And so what we are trying to do is bring the unabashed truth in any way that we can to the people. And everyone has their way of saying it, and we hope to ring a bell. We hope to be saying it in a way that somebody hears and understands. The truth must not only be told, it must be told so as to be believed. And I think it was Emerson said, when the truth is told so as to be believed, it must be, oh, I got it wrong. When the truth is told so as to be understood, it must be believed. And so we are trying to tell the truth in a matter that is understood and that people believe it. And when you believe the truth, and the truth is like getting stuck with a pin. You got to do something. You got to move. So we're trying to stick pins in all of our participants. We want to stick pins in each other and everyone else in range of our voice. Sister Betty, the microphone is yours.
Thank you. Without further ado, we want to go to Brother Larry Pinkney, who is our resident self-liberator. He
yes.
was in the gulag. He was a freedom fighter. He is a Black Panther. Brother Larry Pinkney, the mic is open.
Thank you, Sister Professor Betty Davis. Thank you, Brother Ralph. I appreciate all that you both have said, and what we are trying to do in terms of getting the message out to the people, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. Let me be blunt. Right now, I just want to listen. When I say listen, I mean listen to our wonderful guest that I know will be on the show tonight. I want to listen because I'm thinking and hoping and you know, that they have experience and have gone through many, many things. So I'm going to listen to them as they speak based upon what I hope and believe that they have in terms of their experiences over many decades. So let me say this. As I have always said, we must free our political prisoners, black, white, brown, red, yellow. Free our political prisoners. That's the bottom line for me. And it will always be the bottom line for me. If you're not talking about freeing our political prisoners, then we basically have nothing to talk about, period. Zero, zilch, nada. So looking forward to hearing from Sister Ann Lamb, listening to Tom, Joel, and everyone else who's on the show, our resident poets, both of them. And I'm just going to listen tonight. I'm at the point in my life where I think that it's not only important to say, hey, I've got some experience, but let me listen to the experiences, the decades of experience from other people and on the show. All right. And I want to say this again. We must free all of our political prisoners. By the way, I'm anxiously looking forward to hearing about what's going to be going on, I believe it's April 27th this month, with respect to Mumia Abdul-Jamal. And I think the day following will be yet another presentation, demonstration, whatever we want to call it, in behalf of Leonard Peltier. So I'm anxiously looking forward to that. I'm very, very anxiously looking forward to that. Want to hear from everybody. Sister Ann, I hope you're there. All of y'all. All right. I'm going to be listening. I'm all ears tonight. And I'm going to say it, free all our political prisoners. All power to the people. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. And let us hear from the poets, because they say it in a different way. Professor Louis, your mic is open. Say it in the way you say it best.
All right. War is nasty, ugly and cold. It kills the body and rots the soul. For silver and gold and old stories told, it's your life that's bought and sold. You thought a job in the army would teach you a skill, but the army's job is teach you to kill. You kill some guy you don't even know, a dude like you, a regular Joe with not too much dough, and he might kill you all the same. Lose your legs or lose your brain, and for a little more that's hard to ignore, check out the guys who fought the war. They had pride in our side. They fought with heart. Now they're down on your block in a shopping cart. They fought with what they thought was hope. Now they're down on the corner, strung out on dope. And does it matter to them when it's said and done if the war was lost or won? And do you really care, false or true, which oil company sells gas to you? And along with the pain and who's to blame, it's a sure enough shame. But war could drive a whole country insane. Wave the flag and believe in lies. Everybody gets crazy. It's no big surprise. We look around and we could find the whole country could lose its mind and say we believe in a better world for every little bitty boy and girl, and say we believe in a cleaner earth, clean air and water. We know what it's worth when it comes to the world. If you really ask, war is the worst thing that can come to pass. It destroys everything in its path, burns through the earth like the grapes of wrath. And who gets to pay for all the waste, death and destruction all over the place? It's not too funny, it's low and crummy, but war is paid for with our money. Planes, guns, bombs, bullets too, army tanks, trucks, army socks and shoes, aircraft carriers on the ocean blue, the whole thing paid by you. Tons and tons of money all thrown away, gone from your check every payday. And who sold the bullets? Who sold the plane? They got a face and they got a name. Boeing, Halliburton, and Lockheed, Bechtel, Grumman, IT&T, billion-dollar companies want billions more. Getting down to it, they don't mind war. Trillions of dollars up in smoke. Someone's making money while you go broke. March in everywhere, flags unfurled. So multinational companies rule the world. And you kill somebody your same age, come home and they pay the minimum wage. No matter the war is won or lost, who made the profit, who paid the cost? No matter the war is lost or won, the flag don't wave for everyone. It waves for a new corporate foreign factory. It waves for your brother in the cemetery. And you kill somebody you never met to try and get something you will never get. And we might not want feelings or even dealings with people who kill. It's awful and ill, but say what you will, being a killer is a bitter pill. There's a ragged, broke veteran all out on the street. His shoes all torn up. You could see his feet. He fought the war, but the war wasn't kind. He is out of the war and out of his mind. So I don't want to listen when the trumpets blow. I don't believe what I hear on the radio. I listen for the voice of those who are gone, I listen for the voice of the baby and mom. And if you care about your family and your home, if you care about the children, not even grown, if you want your money to stay and not ever roam, if you want to buy your kid an ice cream cone, if you want a little help with your student loan, if you want to lift everyone to a higher zone, if you check the facts with a fine-tooth comb, if murder is murder, even with a drone, if you can hear the dead and the dying moan, then it's true from here to eternity, from the clear blue sky to the deep blue sea. Killing other people will not make them free, and war is not the best thing for you and me, because war is nasty, ugly, and cold. It kills a body and rots the soul. For silver and gold, an old story is told. It's our lives that are bought and sold.
Okay, you think you can hear it or in another way? I don't know if you would like this CD. Give us a buzz. We will make sure we get one out to you. I could play this one over and over. You should have one. Every high school should have one. Call in and get your CD and get your education in a that many young people. Thank you, Professor Lowe.
You got it, Ralph.
You got it. Oh, you got it. You're past. Thanks again.
All right. We've got a good queue here tonight. We want to make sure we get everybody in. So without further ado, we're going to go to Tom because I know he's always doing research like Larry and like Joel and Ann. So, Brother Tom, your mic is open.
Thank you very much. Greetings, everyone. I would like to talk a little bit about what, to me, true religion is. Now, the United States has a government whose leaders claim that they are Christians, and as such, follow the teachings of Jesus, who they believe is the Son of God. But what did Jesus say about those who are persecuted, those who are peacemakers, those who thirst after righteousness? So I dedicate what Jesus said, this when he went up to a hill, and then he said to the multitudes, and this is based upon the Gospel of Matthew, King James Version. It's also called the Sermon of the Mount. So Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and gives light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they shall see your good works and glorify your Father which is heaven." And I I dedicate this to Julian Assange, Chelsea Manny, Edward Snowden, Leonard Peltier, Mumia Abu-Jamal, and to all of those, especially those who are on this blog, whose objective is to free our political prisoners. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. Tom Syracuse, the New York Green Party. We need reminded of what we and we can't be reminded too often things we profess, because we can often go astray, and we often do as political organizations, as communities and nations. Thank you for that, Tom Syracuse. Sister Betty.
Before we go to Sister Ann, and we've got Brother Joel waiting in the wings, I want to read an excerpt from one of our panelists. It's called Leonard Peltier and Mumia Abu-Jamal, Justice Barometers of Our Soul. And I wanted to let you know this article was written in September the 17th of 2009. And it goes on to say, welcome to the United States of America, the land of hypocrisy, denial, and subterfuge. Intense economic and race war, in fact, continues unabated in this nation, unabashedly fostered, sadly, by U.S. President Barack Obama, who is himself the aloof and blissfully oblivious target of increasing racial bigotry. What a terrible irony. It is stunning, but no accident, how the obvious is repeatedly missed by so many in America. The details in the cases of U.S. political prisoners Mumia Abu-Jamal and Leonard Peltier make this abundant arrogance, hypocrisy, and dangerous obliviousness that is so prevalent in this land crystal clear. I wanted to quote that. As you can tell, this is from the Black, I believe it's from one of, it's Brother Larry's article, and it's from, I believe, when he was with the Black Commentator. The point I wanted to make is that this paragraph illustrates so clearly what we mean when we say, when the public resists truth, state terror follows. It follows from the roots of capitalism, and it follows from the dangers of imperialism. And so I just thought I'd throw that paragraph out. If there's more time later on, we'll go to the next paragraph. This is a fascinating article, and as I said, I stand corrected. It was reprinted, I believe, in the Black Writers Guild, and it's Leonard Peltier and Mumia Abu-Jamal, Justice Barometers of Our Soul, and it was published in issue 342 of the Black Commentator on September 17, 2009, and republished on September 19, 2009, once again. So we thank Brother Larry. We'll hope to get back to the rest of it. And Sister Ann, your mic is open.
Well, thank you so much. Always an honor and a privilege to be on this wonderful, wonderful blog. And very happy to be here. So, of course, we were speaking earlier, and it is important, about, since we're speaking about Mumia and Leonard, I think people know that this Saturday, April 27th, which coincidentally is exactly a year since the release of our brother Herman Bell, right? Just to a nice anniversary to celebrate that by going down to Philadelphia and participating in a march and also a forum and a book release with volume 2 of Mumia's Murder Incorporated. I still have to get volume 1, so I hope they have some around. That's going to start at 11 o'clock in Vernon Park at 5800 Germantown Avenue, and then we're going to rally, and then we're going to march, and then we're going to have the forum at 2. The bus that is leaving from New York City will be leaving at 8 a.m. in front of 124 West 24th Street between 6th and 7th Avenues. If you want to reserve your bus ticket, you should call 212-330-8029. That's 212-330-8029. Or send an email to bus@freemumia.com. And they're really trying to fill this bus, so I wouldn't wait till the last minute. I have done mine. So I think people know, of course, that we got this nice victory on April 17th when Philly DA Larry Krasmer rescinded the state's appeal against Tucker's decision. So this is good. Now, the attorneys don't have to wait several years of fighting in the courts. They can proceed with filing the previously denied PCRA appeals and have that all be reheard before a new panel of Pennsylvania Supreme Court judges. You know, because there were all kinds of constitutional violations in Mumia's case, racial bias in jury selection, right, which is a Batson claim, which is clearly there in his case. They had that guy McMahon who did a whole tape on how to exclude black people from jurors, you know, so they wouldn't be jurors. Ineffective assistance of counsel, which goes back to his original trial lawyer. Witness intimidation and coercion, you know, very similar to things that we see in Leonard's trial, actually. So that will be happening. Should be very, very interesting. I would encourage people to come out and support Mumia at this time. He's been in prison for 37 years. His birthday is April 24th. He will be 64 years young. And, you know, he's not in good health. And thanks to the state, you know, denying him the Hep C treatment for so long that he now does have cirrhosis of the liver. He might no longer have hepatitis C, but he has cirrhosis of the liver for sure. So his health is not great. So I think people should really, you know, make an effort to come out and support Mumia, and let's see if we can finally bring him home. You know, that's what we're trying to do. And then on Sunday, we have our dear brother Lenny Foster talking about Native American issues, not just about Leonard, but he will be talking a lot about Leonard because he's known Leonard for many, many years. You know, they've been friends since they were young together. And that's on Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. right here at the People's Forum, 320 West 37th Street. And we'll also have Dan Battaglia, who is the International Leonard Peltier Defense Committee Board Secretary. And he's going to be giving some interesting presentation, some of it the history of the case, some of the missing documents, where we are now, right? So I think that'll be really good if we have people, hopefully, who are new, don't know that much about the case. You know, they'll get informed. We'll also get informed, or we'll be reminded of things we might have forgotten, right? And Lenny himself is just this amazing person. He's the former director of the Navajo Nation Corrections Project and the spiritual advisor for more than 2,000 Native American inmates in 96 state and federal prisons in the western U.S. And he has co-authored legislation, which is now existing in New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado, allowing Native American spiritual and religious practice in prison, which has really been an amazing thing. He's a board member of the International Indian Treaty Council. He's a Sun Dancer. He's been with the American Indian Movement since 1969. He participated in actions including Alcatraz, Black Mesa, the Trail of Broken Treaties, Wounded Knee, 1973, the Menominee Monastery occupation, Shiprock Fairchild occupation, the Longest Walk, and the Big Mountain Land Struggle, among other things. And he has received all kinds of accolades and honors for all this work that he's done over all these years. And he's also testified many times at the United Nations, which is why he's here. He's talking about indigenous issues, and he has a meeting with the special rapporteur on Thursday to talk specifically about Leonard Peltier. So it'll be a very interesting event, and we'll get to hear a lot from Lenny about what's happening right now and how was his visit with the rapporteur and so on and so forth. He also just recently visited Leonard Peltier, and as people may know, I mean, we all know this, but many people do not. Leonard Peltier was totally framed up for his participation at the Pine Ridge Reservation in 1975 when two FBI agents decided they were going to run themselves onto the res without anybody's permission, and a shootout ensued, and the two FBI agents were killed. So was Joe Kills-Wright Stuntz, a young Native American man who nobody has ever answered for his death, right? And so, you know, they decided somebody had to pay. So after Bob Robidoux and the other brother whose name escapes me at the moment, were acquitted on grounds of self-defense, right, which they should have all been acquitted on grounds of self-defense, then the FBI and the government, you know, said, okay, somebody's got to pay. We're going to get Leonard however we have to. He was, you know, there was false affidavits. There was a trial filled with constitutional violations. There are documents that prove that there was FBI misconduct, including fabrication and suppression of evidence. You know, one of the U.S. prosecutors actually said, and we quote, we can't prove who shot those agents, right? So he's doing time for a crime that he definitely did not commit, just like Mumia. Everybody knows that they are innocent, absolutely innocent, and they need to come home. So, you know, we were hopeful with Leonard under Obama that possibly, maybe, right? But, of course, that did not happen. So we'll be pushing this again, even though it's Trump and we don't expect much. We got to try, because any effort that we don't make, of course, is not going to work, right? We're not Kim Kardashian, but we can try. And so I would encourage people to come out to both of these events. They should really be wonderful. And, you know, it's nice and empowering for ourselves as well when we get together. You know, we can feel the power of the people as we march in the streets. It's very important. And, you know, that's just two things immediately that are happening this weekend. And nobody should forget Imam Jamil Alameen, former H-Rap Brown. Anybody who has friends or family or knows somebody in the Atlanta area, let people know. May 3rd, there are oral arguments. And the oral arguments are about finally having a hearing so that the imam can get a new trial. He's another person who was totally framed. Totally framed. You know, it's very clear. Even the description of the person who supposedly shot that cop doesn't even look like Imam Jamil Alameen. So that's another very important issue. And he's also not well. He has some form of lymphoma, which is apparently horrible. His family, amazingly, his wife is a lawyer and his son is a lawyer. So that's good, you know, and they're trying their very hardest to get him out of there. I just put out on our e-list a very interesting, well, two very interesting interviews, actually, that came from some friends in D.C., and one of them is one that they interviewed the imam's son, so it's all about, you know, what's happening with that. And they also had this fascinating interview with the NCOBRA people. So I would say people definitely, if you're on our list, you will get it. And if you're not on our list, please join our list. If you go to JerichoNY.org, you can sign up for our listserv. We won't overwhelm you. We try not to send out too many emails. But, you know, sometimes when a lot of things are going on, we do. Of course, mostly about political prisoners, but not only. You know, we will send out news about Venezuela and Cuba and stuff that's happening and, you know, going on in the world and things that affect all of us. You know, which is why our political prisoners are in prison in the first place, right? What are we fighting for? Housing, jobs, good education, right? Respect, you know, being treated as human beings, so on and so forth. So, you know, we still see today, all these years later, we're still fighting for the same things, are we not? And it's getting harder and harder. So, you know, people need to realize, yeah, you might be out on the street today saying something. You might be in prison tomorrow. You could be considered a political prisoner tomorrow because you were out at a demonstration and you were voicing your opposition to the state and they put their hands on you and they arrested you and then they said that you beat them up and then maybe after you're in there they'll come up with a bunch of other things, you know. You might be convicted of thought crimes. Some of our prisoners have been convicted of thought crimes. You know, Bill Dunn is not allowed to be released and gets a 15-year hit because he hasn't changed the way he thinks. And that is totally against the law.
That, not changing the way he thinks. Continue,
right.
And sorry.
So that, yeah, that's amazing. He gets a 15-year hit from the Federal Parole Board because he has support from such amazingly scary people as the Anarchist Black Cross Federation, which has existed for more than 50 years doing political prisoner support work, right? He has support from the Antifa people. You know, and he has not changed his ideas. And he says, why should I change my ideas? He's actually appealing that. Whether it's going to go anywhere or not, we don't know. I mean, legally it should. But the way this country is and the way they pack every system, you know, from here to there and the other place is just amazing. Because even today, as we're speaking,
or probably earlier today, the Supreme Court was busy deciding this question about should we have this question on the census of whether or not you're a citizen, which has not existed since the 1950s, for God's sake, I think was the last time they had something like that. And it's interesting because, the right-wing judges that got put in, they're doing all kinds of arguments that they normally do not go for in order to put this question in the census. You know, it's like a total violation of people's rights. It's a total violation of all the testimony. It's a total violation of everybody saying, the experts, at the Census Bureau are saying, that is insane. You are going to lose. You're not going to adequately count the people who live in the district because people who are, quote unquote, illegal, which, I don't use that word, people who don't have papers, right? They're not going to answer your questions if you're going to put that thing on there. So then cities like New York, where we have tons of immigrants, right, we're going to lose representation because our representation in Congress is based upon the population. So if you're not counting millions of people in New York City, I would say, that's going to, we'll lose people in representation in Congress. And people who don't have too many immigrant in their communities will therefore have more representation than those of us who do. So this is like really interesting and very, very scary, to say the least, that it was supposed to be three branches of government, right? So we have the executive and the judicial, and we have Congress, right? So now we see the judicial is being totally tainted by, Trump appointing all these right-wing judges, right? The executive is doing that. The Congress, many of them, I'm not saying all of them, many of them, especially Republicans, don't care about the Constitution, don't care about anything. Oh, we got to do what Trump wants, so he won't get mad at us. Like, who cares? So we're really in dire straits in this country. So I would expect to see many more political prisoners in the coming days. I really am. So that's my thoughts on this today.
Thank you so much for that, Ann. Two things. Self-defense is not a crime.
Self-defense is an absolute right.
Is now and has always been a major instrument of oppression.
Absolutely.
And if you understand that, you have to remember that there was peace from 1619 to 1861, and it was legal. They called it slavery. And
yep.
Now they have new forms of slavery.
Absolutely.
And we must oppose them all.
And
Sister
prison,
Betty,
prison is one of the biggest places for slavery. You want to talk about prison slavery. They're making a fortune in the prison industrial complex because they're paying prisoners something like 15 cents an hour. You hear all kinds of outrageous things. Bill Dunn is actually one of the highest paid prisoners in the federal system because he teaches. He only makes $600 a year. All right?
Well, thank you so much for that, Ann. And that's the 13th Amendment and all of the struggles that we're still working on. You would think that 150 years is enough time to change it, but we're still working on it. Thank you so much, Ann.
Thank you.
Next, Joe Myers, your mic is open.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Joe.
Wonderful report
on the fact of Assange's accuser having been accused by the Cuban government, which we all know and love for their truth and willingness to fight for. This woman works for the FUS, for the government of the United States.
Cubans, not only have they earned our trust, and not only do they operate in a manner as conditioned by a revolutionary consciousness, but also for anyone who visited Cuba, they bent over backwards. They didn't kick out everyone that became something of a problem to them. And so the fact that one of Julian Assange's accusers, and actually the one who first accused him, the one who invited him to Sweden to address a chapter of the Swedish Social Democratic Party, of which she was somehow a chairperson of that, and who invited him to her house, and who boasted about him as her sexual conquest, perhaps indiscreetly on her blog, and who invited him back for more events and so on, you know, and 2 weeks later said that he somehow raped her, something that she hadn't mentioned in all of that period. And she was the one that contacted the second accuser and lined them up to go to the police with these obviously frame-up motivated charges. I mean, why should we believe them for a minute? And yet, there are many people who apparently have been falsely motivated by some kind of a manipulated instance of this idea that, oh, we have to always believe the woman who accuses somebody of raping her. Really? Even when that woman stands out with a CIA background?
Oh, my God.
Wait
a minute.
Joel.
Yes, I'm waiting a minute. Somebody asked me, wait a minute. Excuse me?
You know what, Joel? I lived in Sweden. I actually speak a go
Let
ahead. I'm sorry.
Let him finish. Joel, please.
Yeah,
finish.
Yes. But why are we going there?
Oh, well,
because
a lot of people are manipulated into not into opposing the defense of Julian Assange, and are spreading this word, and in some cases are causing people
in other cases are
half demoralizing some of those who want to defend him, because they wonder, do I really want to defend a rapist or something? What?
Larry,
are spreading this word.
Well,
why don't we concentrate on what Assange was about? Why do we concentrate on the rumors and the fiction that the mainstream, vomit stream, regurgitating stream media puts out? Let's talk about Julian Assange, what he has done. Why do we keep bringing up these rumors and all of this nonsense about Assange? Let's talk about what this brother actually did.
Yes.
Let him
finish. What this brother actually did is he went around the world and he organized the obtaining of information from inside the government, which is very embarrassing to the people who claim to be our governors and our rulers. And he spread that out for the world to see what they're really about, how they were plotting one coup after another, how they were, for example, the role of Hillary Clinton organizing the military invasion and regime change and destruction of the country of Libya and Syria. And he brought that out for the world to see what the conversations inside the government were like. And, of course, they were very, very embarrassed. And that is why he is being persecuted, why he's already spent 7 years in confinement.
That's right. That's right. And now, that's what we need to hear. That's right, my brother. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes. Maybe I was a little bit overemphasizing something else, because I've been attacked as being a sexist just for defending him. So
no,
I'm
sorry,
reacting
but
to that.
Go.
Yes. Okay. So I'm trying to counter those slanders, but you may be right that even by referring to them, it's giving it too much emphasis. So he's
too much credit. Too much credit, my brother.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I hope not, but you may be right. Okay. But that wasn't my intent. The intent is to get people to unite behind the defense of Assange, defense of all of our rights, not just because they're in the Bill of Rights, but because, as the Declaration of Independence states, these are rights that we are endowed with as birthrights. This is what they are trying to take away from us. Not only the ability of people like Julian Assange to be real journalists, who are the ones that should be defended, and according to those who put pressure on the forming government in its day, to include freedom of the press in the Bill of Rights, because at that time the press was not just an adjunct of the government to brainwash us all into supporting its corrupt, murderous, and fascist policies. At that time, a lot of the press were watchdogs that had been persecuted because they embarrassed the governing features. And we have one of our early outstanding political prisoners of the time. His name was R. Peter Zenger. And he was persecuted for seditious libel because he told the truth about the governing forces at that time, and they put him on trial. But the colonists acquitted him, and it was one of the first cases of jury mollification, where the jury refused to follow in lockstep what the government wanted, to persecute somebody who righteously embarrassed them for all the tyranny that they were exercising at the time. This is what Julian Assange was actually doing, and this is why they've gone after him. And I want people to not let the defense slacken or develop any of these kinds of doubts because of these other slanders, but to get behind him and to point out that whatever these slanders are, these are coming from the government, and they are fully part of the attack, and they are being spread by accomplices who want to take away his rights and all of our rights. To take away all of our rights.
Absolutely.
And we have to stand strong in defending him completely. Hopefully...
Got a few more minutes, and I want to ask you a question and the people who are on this call. What was Assange's crime? Didn't he release information about the deals that America was engaged in and the sabotage that America was engaged in all over the world, if I'm not mistaken?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he a part of that?
Well, he was. There were various accusations coming from different angles. They're not even clear what any formal charges would be, but there's no crime involved. In fact, you could look at him as somebody. You could look at him as somebody who. Yes.
On the issue of rape, see, dear Sister Betty and I.
But see, here we go again. Let's talk about what Assange actually did.
Stay finished. Why do you keep interrupting?
I interrupt because you keep going off into what the accountants say. Man, talk about what Assange did, not about what his accusers say.
I think you would ask me a question that somebody else.
Now, Betty and I disagree, but it is to disagree. But we have to...
The charges against him are basically the same charge seditious libel that were leveled against R. Peter Zenger, of which he was acquitted back in 1770-something in upstate New York before the British left. And that's what he's accused of. He's accused of telling the truth, and he's accused of putting out information that shows how the real criminals are the criminals that are running this country and running the system. And he was actually, rather than crime, he was part of the effort to legitimately enforce laws that are being broken all the time by the criminals at the top of the system, which is inherently criminal because it's based on, take off on what was said before, based on violating the three main Ten Commandments: thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That is murder, theft, and perjury, and that's what this system is. It's a system of systematic theft and robbery of everything that people have, the resources, the labor, value of their labor, and so on, enforced by deadly force again and again on individual scale in terms of a war or in terms of a cop arresting you because you're making a speech in a public park or on the street, and they deem that, oh, you don't have proper permits and so on.
Okay.
This is all theft of your rights and your material, and then the media following it up with systematic perjury again and again to demonize the people that are trying to make the world a better place, while exalting and trying to induce us to worship the biggest killers and murderers of all time. Julian Assange is throwing a monkey wrench into that.
No.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And I think we've made it clear who Assange really is. And therefore, I want to conclude with this paragraph from the former article. Leonard Peltier and Mamiya, however, are so much more than political prisoners in America. Their 3 decades long wrongful imprisonment represents the very heart and soul of ongoing hypocrisy, racism, and growing injustice in the nation. And I would put it to you, because we did not free Mamiya, because we did not free Leonard, now Assange, Snowden, Chelsea Manning, all of them are at risk. When the people do their job, that's when we have liberty. And when the people resist the truth, that's when we have state terror. Thank you, folks, and good night.
Yeah, listen.
Thank you.
The reason why I interrupt, everybody's going to get an opportunity.
All the things that I should say, say them loud.